What's up, everybody? Welcome to Technical Deficit. And of course, I'm staring the wrong direction, but that's okay. Because that's exactly what the show is about.
Technically deficit is what we do.
There you go. I'm Ray Rossini, host of TD. And joining me is Mr. Matt Fox, a creative director over at MMN. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well today, Ray. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad we were able to do this today. We had a little actual technical deficit last week.
A technical deficit?
Yeah, we had keyboard parts, but we didn't have keyboard keycaps. No, we had keycaps. We didn't have switches.
We were out of switches, but you know, sometimes those things do happen. We've had a global shortage on Raspberry Pis, and we're just going to add keyboard switches to the list to, you know, make it someone else's thing.
Well, it's like the old saying, you know, switches get keycaps or something. So for those of you that didn't attend the awesome MSP GeekCon May 21st through 23rd, wow, it really feels like I can't get tired of saying that. We had a pre-day hosted by you that was building the, we made a custom keyboard for MSP Geek, MSP GeekCon. Can you talk about that pre-day real quick? Like, yeah. Who was there? What was the purpose?
Yeah, that pre-day was a lot of fun. It was the first time, MSP GeekCon 2023 was the first time I had ever been to a conference for the space that we work in. And a lot of it was new to me. And you gave me the opportunity to create Boarding School, which was the pre-day. It was 4 hours of learning about different types of keyboards, their benefits, the reasons I'm really into keyboards, because it is kind of an obscure thing. Ooh, keyboards, right? But it turned out to be fantastic. We had quite a few people with us. I think we had like 15 or so, and everyone got to build their own keyboard. Everyone had a great time. It was not just about the keyboards. It was about getting to know each other around a topic that wasn't related to, say, tickets or PSA or cybersecurity. I know we don't talk about that at all, but I really wanted to make sure we avoided it that day, right?
And it was cool because like we filled up quickly. Mm-hmm. We filled up within the first, I want to say, 4 or 5 days.
There was only 50 people. I started working on social media ads, and you were just like, stop, we're full.
Yeah. And then people started approaching me as we got closer to GeekCon within the last 2 weeks, I want to say, mm-hmm. Asking about like, hey, if you have a spot, let me in. Or, you know, if you have any spares, like people got really, really excited about it. And it was kind of cool.
It was cool. And it was, I'll just put this out there. It was a gigantic contrast from when some of the people in the community started seeing the boards I was working on about a year ago. I think everyone went through kind of like multiple phases. There was this disbelief, like, that makes no sense. How do you use a keyboard that's got like, I don't know, 18 keys on it, to when do I get to make one, over the course of about, you know, 8 months? And that was a really cool thing to see happen.
I mean, the weird thing for me was, you've been talking to me about keyboards for, I don't know, since
too
like,
long. Yes, too
probably
long.
Day one, you were like, hey, I'm at day two. You're like, here's a custom keyboard. And so you always talk about this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, everybody has their passions. I respect it. But to me, a keyboard's a keyboard. I have my preferences. I have my Logitech 570 I use for probably over a decade, maybe 2 decades. I have this Corsair here. I know what keys I like.
That's cute.
But yeah, but but that's kind of the point, right? Like every time you talk to me about this stuff, it's kind of like my eyes would glaze over. And I would, yeah, and you have keyboards at the same desk. Most of us with multiple keyboards have them at different desks. You have them at the same desk.
I have. Let's just do a quick count here. And oh, first, before we continue, I don't know if you saw this little gem, but eventually that's going to get built. That's going to be a technical deficit right there. An all gold and black Game Boy.
Yeah.
One,
see,
two.
Geraldo's with me. He says plus one for Logitech. He gets this. 10,
11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
There's at least 24 keyboards here on the shelf right now. Some of them are going out to people. Some of them are mine. And some of them are just going to be given to community members. So, yeah, I it's a problem. I admit it. And let's talk about it.
No, absolutely. Okay. So, but the first thing I said to you, once I finally realized, and I'm not ashamed to admit, it was like a year and a half later after I met you. But after I met you, it was, okay, I want to get into this. What the hell am I looking at? Because you'd show mm-hmm. me all these things and I was like, cool, that one looks like a Batarang, or that one looks really pretty, or that one has LED lights. And, you know, my inner 12-year-old would giggle with RGB happiness.
The Batarang one, right?
Yeah. And go. So you show me all this stuff, and besides the aesthetics, I'd have no idea what I'm looking at. Besides, some were split, some were together. You know, so one of the things I asked you, what is this? Like, what am I looking at that makes these things different besides the aesthetics? And then you went to orthogonal and linear and...
I started speaking Greek, yes.
You started speaking Greek. So I am a fan of giving the definitions before we get started. The kind of board we're going to be building today is a...
It's a split ortholinear keyboard. So split being it's in two pieces, and ortholinear meaning that it's using a grid that is perfectly square. All the keys are single unit in size. Keys actually are measured in units, you know. I think one unit's something like 19 millimeters. So
it's like a rack unit, right? Yep.
Yeah, in millimeters. Is the conversion doesn't really work out the same way, but sure, it's the same idea. And yeah, the Revion 34 split is an orthogonal split ortho, although it does have a single key that is two units wide. But that turns out to be really handy because it's exactly where your right thumb lays down on the board, and it's perfect. So do you want to see what one of those boards look like assembled?
Sure.
Because let's do it. It's so tiny that watch this. It's going to take it out of my little organizer here on the wall.
You have it in a little drawer.
I do. And it's that portable. This is a board that I love using when I'm on the road or doing something, you know, that I need to be moving around a lot for. So here it is. Here are the two pieces, the left and right sides. This is not the exact board from MSP GeekCon because that one was specially built for us and it has some differences, which I'll explain. But these are the two sides of the board. And I think our audience is going to love this. Instead of having like your standard TRRS cable, which would be the kind you use for like, say, headphones, we use Cat5, which just kind of feels super on brand for the space that we work in.
Yeah, makes total sense. You know?
And for everyone that's asking, it is a straight through cable. This is not a cross connect. I feel like you see something this long, this short, now you're going to think a cross connect cable or something like that. But this is a straight through Ethernet. But yeah, this is the board once it's completed, which is amazing.
So why would anybody do this? Why would I look for my ortholinear split keyboard versus my Logitech K570?
Look at that. My machine's just kind of doing its own thing. I think part of that is hand health. I know that's always been it for me. I can type on a regular keyboard. In fact, if you look at my desk right now, I've got a TKL right in front of me that I'm using at the moment. But, you know, I've sustained a lot of damage to my hands over the years doing hands-on IT work. You know, I've been impaled. Okay. I've had my hands stuck inside of cabinet doors and data centers. I've had all sorts of things happen, and they just don't work the way that they used to. In fact, two instances. I think once, remember, I were in the chat, and I was like, "Ooh, just split my hand open. These things happen. Let me get some crazy glue." It just happens. There's a reason you keep gel here to seal up cuts, right? But it makes it
okay. You're not splitting open your hand while you're typing in a Word doc, or let's
if I'm on a if I'm on a Corsair document. Keyboard, I might.
Ooh, I don't know. You have more band-aids than me, and I've never cut my. I know I've cut myself on 286s. You know the cases.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've rolled steel cases back in the day, absolutely. Yeah. But ultimately, it's about being able to put my hands in a better position so that I can type longer. Durations throughout the day and more comfortably. And when I type more comfortably, I make fewer mistakes. And when you make fewer mistakes, work comes along smoothly. It's a good feeling. And that's really the main reason that I use these boards.
I think Martin gets me. Tim says it right on the money. Too many big words. Martin says short version because it's cool.
There you go. I mean,
we can go with that. Trust me, I have tons of crap on my desk that is there just because it's cool. So I'm all for that. Thank you, Martin. I agree with you 100%. So
let's get started. Break out the board. Let's get going.
So this was the package received at GeekCon. Mm-hmm. And I'll show everybody. And we have this box that comes in nice and okay. I just opened it up and we have packages. We have tools. We have the board.
We do.
And then this was what I had last week, which is exactly why we had to stop. What am I missing from this,
Matt? You are missing the switches that we need to install on the keyboard.
So, and in true fashion, there's not one set of switches. You let the people at GeekCon choose either the Holy Panda tactile.
The Holy Panda tactile switch, which is a personal favorite of mine. As well as the Box Cream Linear, which is not one that I use too often, but Matt Mancuso the individual that helped us get these boards customized and fabricated loves those, so we included those in the mix. But I do very much like the Holy Panda. I don't think you can see that from the lighting, but I always have them around here.
And then the other option was these cream linear ones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, and those are nice. They're not a switch that I usually default to, but they're definitely a great quality and a fantastic linear switch.
And for those that want to hear, this is the cream. I'll put it right up to the mic. You can't hear any clicky at all. This is the Holy Panda. You can't hear it, but there's definitely, it has a little tension.
There's a tactile bump inside of the shaft that you feel and you'll hear, but neither one of those types of switches is really designed to be clicky. I can't stand clicky switches, so we just didn't include them. I mean, I've got some.
Is that why Clippy died? Is that why? No. Martin, if you were at MSP GeekCon, and Martin, I know you got your package after, remind me what switches you actually picked. I think I will be going with the tactile one, so Creamy can go back.
The tactile was easily the winner of the day.
Easily the winner. Yeah. All right. And then, as if it doesn't get worse, we included these keycaps, but of course you had me this past weekend buy more keycaps because that's what
What happens.
There you go. L says, whatchamacallit, the ASMR. We actually may do ASMR keyboard clickety clickety.
We could do that all day. You know,
he got the cream linear was the one because Martin's a smooth individual. So that makes
sense.
Smooth
operator. I like it.
He's a smooth operator. So we have this stuff, right? So we have these. This is what came, and I'm going to be. Oh, I do have scissors. Okay. I wasn't sure what I had in hand reach.
Go ahead and open that up and I'll explain what it is as you're going along.
Yeah, please.
Those are the individual boards that make up this type of keyboard. They're made of an FR4 material, which is the material that printed circuit boards, PCBs, are commonly made of. And there's three in there. You've got a bottom plate, which forms the base of the keyboard. You've got your middle plate, which is where all the circuitry is located. And then you have a top plate. And the top plate's used to align and bring stability to the keyboard as you put your switches through it. Now, the manufacturing process of this board is pretty cool because, of course, it is a split, but when you have it manufactured, you have it manufactured in kind of like larger, not slabs, I forget the exact, panels. And if you take a look at the center of each one of those panels, there are little areas that have been cut out. Those are known as mouth bites. And what you're going to do is simply snap those in half in those areas to separate the board into pieces. Now, give me one second. It's been a little while since I've done an assembly of one of these boards. The first thing you're going to want to do is take the plate that has the protective cover for the MCU, which is the one in the middle, the top plate, rather. Yes, there. And you'll see that there is an area on the left-hand side that's got some mouse bites that would look.
When you say mouse bites, what is a mouse bite?
Do you have the ability to zoom in on that board?
I do have the ability to zoom in.
All right.
One if moment, please.
Oh.
We have that technology.
Enhanced.
Zoom. Enhanced. Zoom. I figure that's probably the safest way to do this.
Yeah, no, this works out nicely. In the center, there are pieces of FR4 material that are keeping the two sides together. If you take a click.
Okay, you keep saying new words. When you say FR4, you mean
the material that the board is made of.
Okay.
Okay. So if you look at that plate, the one that you just pointed at, towards the center of it, there are two areas that are connecting the left and right sides. Now, you'll notice that they have little tiny holes drilled through them. Those are known as mouse bites, and they're there as perforations so that you can break it in half.
Oh,
yes.
Here, these little perforations.
But above that, you'll see that there's a little panel, and you want to break that little panel, the left, yes, those two pieces, you break that off first. Just wiggle back and forth, it'll pop, you're good to go.
Terrified of that.
Yeah. The first couple times you do that, it is a little bit scary.
So what am I better with? Am I better with pliers here or snips to get these little
pliers? They come off very easily.
Okay, I'll sand that down later. Okay.
All right. So now you're gonna break that one in half.
That wasn't too bad. I do have like five spares right next to me just in case my shenanigans. Although I'd prefer not to, because the gentleman that made these put a lot of love and attention into this.
Matt Mancuso.
You want to call him out real quick?
Matt Mancuso of World Spawns Keebs did this. He's a member of the Keeb community. That's something I'm actually not that active in. This is like a very solitary activity for me. It's a nice quiet time when I can think about doing other things as I'm, doing this type of work. But he's just the most nicest person in the world, especially when it comes to this. He has an Etsy store. You'll see some versions of this board there. And I reached out to him on Discord. I was like, hey, buddy, this is what I'm looking to do. Check out some of the boards I've done just to kind of, you know, make sure he knows that I this is something I genuinely care about. And he was into it. Not only was he into it, he had a million ideas of what to add. You know, we went with the custom color. We've got the graphics on the back. If you wouldn't mind showing that, that'd be awesome. So it made the keyboard a commemorative item for the event. You know, it has the OIT VoIP logo, the MSP GeekCon logo, the MMN logo, and as well as the location and date when the conference took place. And yes, you can break that one in half as well.
all right. It's just so much fun. I'm not sure if it's more fun with the noises or if it's
I'm enjoying the noises that you got going on here. But he was excited. And not only did he help us design the back of it, but he also added an extra footprint to the left side of the board that allows us to install a rotary encoder or a dial, a knob, if you want.
Are you talking about on this?
Yes. Which you can also break in half, please. Go for it.
I have to.
Hulk smash.
All right. So, Hulk smash. All right. So what am I looking at? So when you say the rotary dial,
rotary encoder,
you mean this spot up here?
No. Take the other half that's on the table at the moment and flip it over. Okay. Now rotated 180 degrees. So the black components are on the top. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Left lower left hand corner, right by your left thumb, you're going to see a footprint, and there's going to be three little dots or holes over
right here.
Right three, down one. Right by your left thumb. There you go. You're going to see that there are three little dots or holes right there. And those accommodate a rotary encoder. So if you had one of these little guys, if you see here, you've got three legs on that. You could actually install one of these if you wanted to, which is cool. You can program it to act as like a volume dial. I have boards with multiple encoders, and I have one type of function that I like to call a time machine. Because when you rotate it counterclockwise, it's the same thing as hitting Control Z. If you hit it, if you turn it clockwise, it's Control Y. So it's like undo, redo, but like on steroids.
Because so for those of you that are like me, before meeting Matt, you'd look for keyboards like this that had like macro keys, and you could program them, and you know, and I have my Stream Deck here, of course, you know. But you look for stuff like that so you could do automated things, and it'd be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. thank you. Thanks, Dan. I'm so strong. Whatchamacallit. But yeah, so setting up stable refusion. I don't know how we got that one. Let's go back to CD.
Yeah.
There we go. So whatchamacallit. So up to that, I would look for macro keys, or I look for my Stream Deck and I program it and all that stuff. But the cool thing about this is you can actually program every single key and then some.
Yeah, you can make your keys do anything that they want. The framework that we use for most hobbyist keyboards, including the Revyung and almost everything that I own, is QMK. And you can find that online. I think it's qmk.fm. Nice framework, and it's super flexible. It's written in C, so it doesn't take a whole lot to learn how to work with. And you can create custom events for any type of key clicks, key presses. There's a feature called Tap Dance that allows the key to behave differently based on how many times you tap it. And you can combine different things like modifier keys with encoders so that if you hold a specific key down and twist a knob, it does one thing. If you don't have that key pressed down at the same time, that's not it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's QMK.
FM, I think. Hold on one second.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, QMK.
And it's just fantastic. I've been working with it for a couple of years now, and I've built some really, really fun boards with it. Super functional boards. In fact, I've built boards for a couple of people in the MSP community, and so far they've absolutely loved them. And you know, again, there's a little bit of, I don't know about this, and give it 3 weeks. Just give it 3 weeks. Go through a little bit of pain with it because it's going to be an adjustment. And I guarantee you, it's going to click, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing since cheeseburgers.
It's going to click.
Depending on the switches you have.
It's going to click, or it's going to be really smooth.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to this here, because
we have limited time. We don't want to spend too much.
30 minutes.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. So I got the piece here. What's next?
Next, you're going to take the little 3D printed container that has the Allen key in it. You're going to open it up. The top screws off. Be careful when you do so, because all of the parts for assembling the board are inside of there.
Sir, I come here prepared. Uh,
Ray, let's talk preparation with
okay. No, hold on. There's a difference between prepared and just, you know, you're definitely the Kaczynski of keyboard supplies.
Kaczynski, isn't that the Unabomber?
Yes.
Damn, that hurts a little. That's pretty funny though.
All right. So I open this up. I have standoffs, I have screws.
Yes. So the first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna want to get the smaller standoffs into the bottom plate. So the bottom plates are the ones that have the logos on them.
Okay. These. Mm-hmm. And am I doing it like this or
the screws? You're gonna want the logos to be on the surface of the desk. So flip them over. There you go. Now the screws are going to go straight up through and you can attach the standoff. So they're sticking up and you'll see that you have two sizes.
All five spots or just the four?
I think it's four on one side, five on the other.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
And you're going to have two different types of standoffs. I believe that this kit has an 8mm and a 12. So you're going to go with the smaller of the two for this. The larger one is for mounting the protector for the screen.
Okay. So talk to while I'm doing this incredibly fun thing, talk to the audience about, can you show them some of the different boards you've built out, like, and what makes them awesome?
Absolutely. Let me just switch over my camera here down to the cam for the desk. And we can look at a couple of different boards here. There's, of course, the River Young, which I already showed. So I'm just going to put that off to the side. There's a board known as the Korn, which is a super, super popular ortholinear keyboard. And the one that I've got on my desk right now was custom built by Matt from Worldspawn. What he did was he took the standard PC boards for it and he put two locations for encoders on either side. So if we look here, and I'll put it this way so people can see it better, you'll see that each side has a separate dial or encoder. It has screens to display the status of the board, caps lock, whatever kind of things you have on. It also has a keyboard buffer that displays what you're typing, but that kind of creeps me out. It's not a big deal for security or anything like that, but just the idea of that being displayed is something I don't necessarily like.
Yeah, keyloggers totally fine.
Yeah, hey, let's just make it a feature. You know, that's kind of where that went. Yeah. And then there is another board here on my desk that is interesting, that in a way that I love it and I can't stand it at the same time. This is an SP50 from a company called KP Republic, I think. And it looks pretty nice. It's kind of cool. It's got the translucent background bottom, so you can see the lighting and all the circuitry and whatnot. But it doesn't run QMK. It runs this other kind of, I think it's called B-Face or something like that, firmware. And it just doesn't work as well. It's not as flexible.
Is that selectable when you start building these things? Like, can you put QMK on a board that had whatever, Burger King or whatever you
just said? If QMK supports the architecture of the processor that's on the board, yes. And in this case, the processor type in the SP50, I think, is an 18 mega 32U4 or whatever the common kind is. So if I really took a look at it and I looked at the traces on the boards each half and figured out where they terminated, like which pin on the processor, I could write a configuration, but I just, not for that board. I'd rather put time into some of the nicer ones that I have. But it works. It's a great keyboard otherwise. I just don't mess with the configuration on it. I'm just going to start pulling random boards from my desk right now.
So this to be done with these standoffs. If you want to tell me what to do next.
Are you serious? Wait, you just did it for both sides?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool, man. I like it. The next thing that we're going to want to do is begin taking the switches and placing them through the plates. That would be the top plate that you have that has kind of like the grid of cutouts.
That's these or these?
Those.
Okay.
So what I'm going to ask you to do is make sure that we orient them properly. So first things first, Ray, you installed the standoffs upside down.
No, wait. You said the logo down.
I did. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm up. Wait, no.
Oh, shit.
That's all. No big deal.
You're right.
It's cool. Right, it just gives me time to show off another board or something in the meantime while you're taking care of that. This is a Gherkin, and it's a 10x3 board that is, at first glance, incredibly unusable because it's like, hey, where are all the keys? But it's surprisingly usable once you take the time to just kind of sit down and go through the pain of adjusting to it.
Let's see. What else do I have here? Let's
talk about the split boards real quick. Like, how long does it take to get used to the split boards? Because to me, it doesn't look much different than any ergonomic keyboard, just with better spacing, right?
Yeah, it depends. Some people pick up on it immediately. Like I've had friends take a board from me and within a few hours they're comfortable with it, whereas some other people could take a couple of weeks. And it's one of those situations where you just kind of have to stick with it. It's a little bit difficult at first. You're going to realize that you're going to be making a lot of typos, especially once you begin to adjust from having a staggered layout for a keyboard, which is what we're used to right. the orthogonal grid. You're not going to be moving your fingers the same distance as you're typing. And once you realize that and you kind of make that bit of a compensation in movement, all of a sudden it kind of just clicks and works perfectly fine. Also, Trevor Thomas, thank you for getting the Super Troopers reference earlier. I'm very, very happy to see that in the comments.
We're all about the Easter eggs and references here. Absolutely.
Gorgeous.
All right. So I got these done.
Perfect. So
correctly this time. All right. So I'm looking at this. Let me move this over so it's a little easier. All right. Okay. So what am I doing?
The first thing I'm going to want you to do is position the plates as they're going to be set up. So take the bottom plates and reverse their order. So the bottom plates, the ones that already have the standoffs, the one that's on the right-hand side, I want you to rotate. Thank you. Exactly. And then get the other one. Perfect. Now the top plates that we're going to work on next are going to make more sense because there's going to be one that has a cutout and one that doesn't. The one that has a cutout where you're going to put the screen would be on the left-hand side, which would be the one that I believe is in your right hand. So switch hands. So
this is my right hand. Okay.
Oh, you're reversed. Okay. Just shake your right hand for me a second. Okay. Swap switches. Thank you. Now place them on top of those plates. You're getting there. Yep. That side's perfect. Now the other side has to be rotated to fit properly. 180 degrees from there. Boom. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Now, give me 1 second to look at my board to make sure I'm telling you the right thing. It's been a little while since I've built one of these. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to simply add a handful of switches to each one of these top plates to help with alignment of insertion into the circuit board.
The reason we're recording this and doing it now, everybody at GeekCon had 4 hours to do this. We're doing it in one. So if we go a little fast for you, I'll call you Keyboard Kaczynski. If we're going a little fast for you, feel free to rewatch the video. That's exactly why we're doing this.
Absolutely. Now, what I would do is, in fact, put a pop a switch in. Actually, take a look at the circuit boards now. Let's make sure that you know which one's left and which one's right. The one on the left is going to have a footprint for an OLED screen. So the one that says Reviyoung Split is the one that goes on the left. The one that has the WorldSpawn logo goes on the right. Yep. Now flip them over so the white parts are on the bottom.
Okay. So they go like this.
No, flip them over so that those white parts that are sticking up right now are there. You go. That's the way they go. Perfect.
Oh, I got you.
There we are. Now, if we look at the top of these plates, you'll see that there are holes where the pins of the key switches have to go through. And they're either going to be top or bottom mount. From what I'm seeing on this particular board, they're top mount. Does that look right to you?
So they would go like this on one of these? Yes,
and the pins would be facing north.
Okay. Yeah, because I see on the bottom of these, I don't know if it's easy enough for people to see it. But yeah, on the bottom of these, that's as close as I can go. There's pins right here and here. So when you say north, you mean toward the top of the board.
Exactly. And that should line up nicely with what's there. I just want to make actually, no, there's a south facing, excuse me.
Okay.
So
know if I'm putting them in the right spot?
They'll line up. You're going to have two holes left and right where large plastic pins go through. And then you're going to have the two copper pins go become inserted into the sockets that the white areas.
Oh, I see. Okay. So the little pins go in the plastic sockets. Okay.
Exactly. So I just wanted to make sure that the orientation was correct. Now what you're going to do is take that switch, just remove it from the board and insert it through the top plate in the same exact orientation.
Okay. Insert through the top or the bottom?
Through the top. There you go.
Okay.
A little bit of pressure, you'll hear a click.
Yeah. There we go. There's my click.
Now, I'd like for you to do that with the top left, the bottom right, and the bottom left. The same switch, same side. Yeah. What we're doing is we're just getting it. We're preparing the plate to be attached to the PCB.
This would be no different than if we were like dry mounting something first for placement. We're just
exactly.
We're getting the edges as long as I make sure the pins are on the south side of.
Southside, you're good to go. And then once you have all four in, we're going to align it with the PCB for that side of the board and simply insert gently.
And this is the bottom. So for anybody looking, you can see the little pins are on the south side.
Okay.
And now
we're going to align. Yep. And insert.
Yeah. And I apologize. I can't get a good camera angle of this, but I'd rather not mess it up. So there's that. There's that. Yep.
All right. Cool. So now that side of the board's pretty much built. All you're going to have to do is insert the rest of
the... Thanks, everybody. You have a great day. Thanks for watching this. Oh, wait. No, we're not. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Sorry. Come on. you're going to do the same exact thing to the rest of the locations on that side of the board. But I think in the interest of time...
Go ahead, man.
In the interest of time, I would ask you to do the same thing to the other side of the board, the other half. That way, we may not get through the full assembly today, but we get to show the audience exactly how this works.
Sure. I can do that quickly. While I'm doing this, I'll minimize me, and why don't you start talking about other boards?
Oh, other boards. Okay. Let's see. You're doing the Revion. Let me find... Oh, you know what we haven't done? We haven't done an ortho that isn't split. Let's look at a couple of those real quick.
And if anybody in the chat has experience with some of these keyboards, I'd love to hear it. Because while I knew they existed, all my knowledge of it was seeing people like on YouTube videos that had a cool keyboard. I didn't realize they were making them. So...
Yeah, there's a handful of people. In fact, at MSP GeekCon, I had a lot of people coming up to me asking, you know, what my preferred flavor of this board or that board is. And I was really surprised and got in some really nice conversation.
Do you want me to, while we're doing this, you want me to go ahead and mount it like this too, since I have the four done?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. Cool. And then while I'm doing this, why don't you talk to people about GeekCon? I mean, not GeekCon, boarding school, the new show we're working on.
Yeah. You know, the keyboard thing, it turned out to be something that a lot of people responded to in a way that I didn't expect. You know, it was very positive. Everyone had a story to share or a question to ask. And that led to the realization that this is a fun activity. It's a fun group activity to work on. It's something that is technical, but isn't necessarily connected to what many people in the space do on a day-to-day basis. So it becomes a bit of an escape. And I every time I work on something like this with someone, we end up having really great conversation where we're doing things like sharing wins that we have in the workplace, sharing challenges that we have, and talking out solutions. And I don't know about you, but I love that kind of conversation. I love having conversation that's productive and helps other people. And I think that's a big part of what boarding school is going to be. And I also just love that we're calling it boarding school, because I got expelled from private school when I was a kid. So there's like this weird kind of continuity thing there. Like, I'm back. But yeah,
we'll talk about that another day.
That's another episode, right? We don't want to use all our content at one time. But
so
yeah,
I'm doing here for people who don't know, I'm just putting in the rest of the switches, since we're gonna have to do that eventually. Anyway, this is actually, honestly, this is less nerve-wracking than when I was putting the four in at once, because
it's not kind of slip
right into the right spot.
It's not. If you bend a couple of pins, you're going to find out as soon as we plug it in, then it becomes a little more nerve wracking. But that's a part of the process. That's why.
Thanks. I'm feeling good about myself. thanks for that, Matt.
What I was going to say to you, there's a reason that I've got containers and containers of switches, and it's because that happens. It does. It's just it's part of the hobby. You deal with it.
If I screw up, it's part of the hobby. Got it.
Yeah, that's part of the experience. It's not a mistake. It's part of the experience. It's part of the journey, man.
Doing a live stream when you didn't have all the pieces you needed.
Hey, you know what? Who doesn't like an adventure now and then?
That's what I'm saying, though.
That's it. But we'll talk about boarding school in a second. But we were going to look at those ortho boards. So let's just do that really quickly. Here's a plank from Drop, which is, I think, one of the first orthos that I owned. And it's been beaten up pretty badly over the years, but still works. Here's another one. Oh, look at that. It's kind of OIT themed, no?
Nice.
Yeah. And it's in an end of the world case. So it's like super minimal. It's pretty much the same materials that the board you're building right now is made of. And
it keeps like popping in past, or the board keeps going past the keycap.
That happens. And you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. So keep it up. And this this board right here that's not fully assembled. Ray, I haven't even shown this to you, so we're just going to consider this to be like a world premiere statement. But I want us to build boards with people in the community and people even outside the community, anyone that wants to do this. And this is a Contra, and it's not fully assembled because it's a board that I haven't fully built yet, but it is one that I'd like to build with the community. It's a really nice ortholinear keyboard. It's inexpensive. It costs something like $5 to have the plates and PCB for this fabricated, which means it's something that could be very accessible and we can have a lot of fun building. And at the end of the day, it's actually super, super functional. If you see here, so it's got multiple.
This is as good a time as any to tell people that, no, Jack, your $30, well, your $30 Amazon keyboard counts for up to now, but after having watched this show, no, you will not be able to use that anymore. So we are going to be taking these items. So the remainder of the MSP GeeksCon staff or stock and some new stuff. And we're going to be putting it on the MMN store. The OIT store is actually becoming the MMN store. And the goal is not to make millions off selling you guys parts, but to make this stuff available in an easy way where you don't have to go scour 19.
Don't make the mistakes that I've made and don't spend all the extra money on those mistakes. That's really what it comes down to. So I guess much like Google domains, the OIT store is sunsetting and the sun will rise on the MMN store soon.
There you go. And if you watch MSP Dispatch.
I'm so sorry, Tony. I do apologize.
You're taking his, he's still crying about it right now.
He just grabbed his chest for no reason.
Yeah, we called me this morning. We had a meeting. It was okay. Kelly was around. He knows it'll be all right. So
it'll be fine. And you know what? We'll build some keyboards with them and make them feel better. How about that? That's what we'll do. So
let me ask you, these space bars, am I supposed to be filling those in as well?
Yeah, those are keys. Okay. So we're going to just pop one on the left-hand side, you're going to put two switches.
Okay.
And on the right-hand side, you're just going to do one. Now, I guess this is kind of like a best practices thing, but the keyboard, the right side should have a key stabilizer since you're running a two U keycap there, but okay. I don't use them. So I'm not going to make you use them either.
Plastic piece that, that I remember, right?
Yeah. It's a little black plastic piece with a silver wire that goes across. I don't find them to be necessary for this board. It's just not large enough.
So I'm sorry for people that I keep going off camera, but the top plate keeps falling in. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to make sure I get, there we go. That's what it was. Wasn't contacting properly over there.
I love it. I'm watching someone else have the problems I have all the time. It's so great. It's like watching America's Funniest Home Videos, the Bob Saget version.
The funny one? Is that what you're saying?
That's where I was going with that. Thank you very much for that. I mean, honestly, Ray, if you don't get to all the key switches right now, it's perfectly fine. What I'd love to do before... Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, my big goal here today is to just get the board at a point where it's going to boot up so people can see it. And then you can finish the rest on your own time where we can record more. There are also a lot of tips I'd love to share with you that are just too much for today. But the next thing we're going to do, we're going to pop the OLED screen in. So you're going to have an OLED screen that's going to be in your box. It's I got one around here. I could show you what they look like. It's got four pins on it. It's about an inch long. Kind of looks like this.
I cannot see that, but I know what an OLED screen looks like. So this is the stabilizer you were talking about, correct?
That is the stabilizer I was talking about. I've got a nice little collection of unused ones here.
Cool.
And Matt's sticker. That's just, I love the fact that he, I'm pretty sure you know that one of my favorite franchises, and yes, there are certain parts of it that I pretend don't exist, is the Alien franchise. That's always been a big thing, a part of my life since I was a kid. So seeing the Weyland-Yutani logo turned into his World Spawn Keeps logo is pretty sweet.
So this popped off the bottom here. Should I be concerned?
Ooh, that does happen every once in a while, and I can show you how to take care of that. That's just a matter of resoldering the switch on.
And we won't do that now. We'll do it as a separate video and upload it later.
Yeah, and you know, much like I was saying with the keyboard switches, things like that do happen, and you have to be prepared because no matter how much time you spend doing something like this, you're always going to run into that. And that's why I've got this, if you could see the screen, Ray.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You a couple got thousand of those in there, just because you keep them around.
All right. So I got a little LCD screen. Is that what we're looking for?
Yep, that's your OLED. It's got four pins on it. Now, on the left hand, there you go. Perfect. On again, I'm sorry with the mirroring, but yes, the your left hand. You've got your watch on your left hand, yeah?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. You'll see the MCU, which is the processor that has the USB-C connection. Oh, now, just to the right of it, you're going to see that there's there's going to be a socket with four holes. Yes, yeah, right there. That's where you're going to plug the screen in.
Okay. All good.
All right. Now, normally we'd want to fully assemble this board and get the top plates attached to the bottom plates. You know how to screw things in, so I'm not going to waste your time with that. Please please unpack the Cat5 cable, which I got to tell you, I'm a little jealous. It's got that gorgeous Cisco blue. It almost feels like it's a serial port cable.
Right? I mean, I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to telnet into one of my IADs or one of my ISRs. I'm ready to go.
I'm going to admit something, and I'm well past my hands-on IT days, so I don't feel, like, embarrassed to say this, but I once had a Cisco Catalyst 2900 XL run for 7 years straight without being rebooted.
I have one in my server closet right now in this office.
Those are the tanks. So, they don't go.
Don't worry about that. It is printer of switches. It will not go anywhere.
Exactly. So now that you've got the cable out of the package, just go ahead and connect the left and right sides of the board with it.
Okay.
And you'll see those are straight up just like RJ45 jacks. Nothing different about those.
Do you know if these are straight or
they're straight through? Yeah, they're straight through. They're not crossing.
So any patch cable would work here.
Absolutely. Although you'd want to limit the length because of attenuation and power going across.
Does it matter that much more for these devices?
Yeah, it does. You're going to start noticing problems when you get over like a foot or two of length on one of these.
Okay.
So I always keep those short. If you're doing something like TRRS cables, like the like these, which are used by most split keyboards, you have a little bit more length to work with, about 3 feet. And oddly enough, if you're using USB to connect, which a couple of them do, and it's the worst because it's always like the mail-to-mail mini USB that no one has anymore because no one has a cell phone that uses that stuff anymore. You got to keep those relatively short as well. So you've got them plugged in.
Martin playing along at home.
Oh.
So Martin's in the same boat I am. I actually attended boarding school pre-day, but I got caught up in conversation with somebody as per usual at a conference
and
I couldn't pay attention. Well, that's the point, right? That's why you go to these things. So I couldn't pay attention to what was going on.
I'm just gonna throw this out to Martin real quick. I've got your next challenge right here. We've got tons of boards, just wait.
So Martin was in the same boat I was in that he couldn't go to the event. He wanted to do boarding school. He just couldn't. So, you know, he went back and he's watching it now. So he's building for the first time, just like me.
That's awesome. And I love it.
I'm going to
say, let's jump the shark and just plug the dang thing in.
Oh, Jesus. You know? That sounds horrible.
Get a USB cable, plug it into the MCU on the left-hand side of the board. Ooh. Are you doing a little redo for yourself?
I am doing a little redo for myself, but I just realized that doesn't have the...
Oh, that was a spare parts box that you went into there.
I thought I was being so smart.
I wouldn't worry about it. Let's turn the socket repair into another video. In fact, I was thinking about building a board and recording it this weekend. So if you want to do that, we can totally do it.
Oh, yeah, we could totally do it. Plus,
we're running down on time. We've only got about 7 minutes left.
I got you.
And so, look what happened to my desk in that short time. It's just become flooded.
What did you do?
I just keep grabbing boards and putting them down to show you guys. And it's getting bad. I feel like I'm being ganged up on here. They're all around me.
I have more spare parts. How do you like that? So let me, so that goes.
Oh,
it's and like that. And like this.
That is correct. And while you're doing that, I'll show the audience my smallest keyboard, which comes in the form of a milk carton. Look at that. It's only got two keys, so it's considered to be a 2% size board. 2% milk makes perfect sense. I didn't come up with the idea, but I love it.
While we were doing this. So this is the appropriate orientation. All the pinouts are south. Except the keyboard, the spacebar one. It's more
interesting. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I would have done it wrong had I done that.
If worst case scenario, the copper pins would have fallen through the holes in the board, nothing would have been damaged, and then we would have realized, you know, when it wasn't working. I'm trying to think of when I built mine. I think I built this one probably about a year ago, so I'm not super familiar with it anymore, but doesn't stop us from doing this because it's a really cool board to work with. And I know that multiple people at the event followed up loving it, so I was really happy about that.
We got so much great feedback from the event. Yeah, just pointing it out there, because Martin, since you're building at home, if you hadn't noticed that, check your keyboard one, and I'll check the other one in a minute. But okay, so
all right, so you got this, you got the left and right sides plug in. Let's plug the keyboard into your computer. It just uses a USB, a USB-C, I believe, on that MCU. The MCUs that are being used, the processors, they're Arduino based. They're referred to as a Pro Micro. The micro part being USB Micro, but now newer variants, especially these that Matt gets, and I find I have the same vendor, are using pinouts for USB-C. So it's really handy. And have you side note, I'm learning how to build USB cables, and USB-C is such a pain to work with because of how many pins it has. You know, like micro USB is like 5 pins, and then you look at one of those, you're like, all right, I got to get the 25x magnifying glasses on for this, but it's gonna happen. I'm gonna have those fully custom soon, so yeah, just plug that in.
I actually have a little one moment, please. For those wondering what's going on, I'm not zooming. My desk is moving. I have a USB hub under my desk, so that I probably should have plugged in. So what am I expecting when I plug this in?
Fireworks. The screen lit up. There you go. You've got a working keyboard. Now, I'm trying to think of what the key map is, because I've modified mine. Now, if you look at the screen, and I don't know if you can zoom in far enough for people to see, but I think it's going to say like something in L0 or layer
it,
zero.
It says layer L0 and then numbed immediately under
it. Okay, see, the num means your numpad is current. Num lock is on.
Okay.
So if you were to say disable the num lock on your regular keyboard, you would see that that would disappear from the screen immediately. I don't even know where the numlock key is anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, I had to think, oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, my God. And I know keyboards. I get
do the same thing with caps lock. Hit your caps lock button. Boom.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that neat to see?
So you're telling me I can have it on the LED. I can have it tell me when I'm muted?
Well, that gets into what's the term? It's the bidirectional communication, the HID interface, which we can talk about another day, because that's how you control, like, say, like causing the keyboard to flash red when you have an incoming notification from your computer. Those are things that can be done.
This genuinely feels like a victory. I got to say, I get it's not finished, like everything set up. It feels like a victory.
We're going to have to rename the show, because this is not a deficit.
Look, I had a component break. We got past not having switches and still got a bootable board. I misoriented one and caught it on my own. These are not things I normally do. I'm going to go ahead and say it's the audience helping us, which is why this was successful.
I'm just going to throw it out there that we also had a what I'd like to consider to be a dolphin safe episode.
We did. No fucking dolphins were on this. Sorry.
Oh, Flipper, I'm so sorry, buddy.
So, and I want to point this out too. Matt Mancuso made these little 3D printed tool holders with the screws and everything.
Yeah.
And I thought that was super freaking cool.
He never stops surprising me on these, and we're going to have him join on a future episode so we can talk more about how he does these things. One last thing I do want to show you with the screens, and I'm trying to figure out a way to do this because it's a little difficult to get on here. If you see that I actually have like a kind of like a, I don't know if you could see that terribly. There you go. Like a bootleg Mega Man graphic on my screen, the Mega 58. So it's a Lily 58. And I decided just to quickly create a little piece of art, turn it into a bitmap, you know, zeros and ones on and off for each pixel. And that allows me to kind of brand these up a little bit, which is fun. In fact,
which
the
is cool
other
too, because like, and okay, so let's talk about that one real quick, because that one's not just your typical split out with your hands. That one's actually like split out. It's like curved.
This one, yeah, it's got a bit of a staggered look. Let's go back to my desk view and we'll take a better look at it right here. It is. There's a bit of staggering to the columns, so that it curves with the shape of your hand. Makes that perfect sense. And you'll see here that there's no legend on these keys. One thing that people look at these and they're like, how do you know what to click? Muscle memory. You can close your eyes and type right now, right?
Yeah, I could, but most
people can.
Keyboard layout.
Like, no, okay, it takes a little time to learn, but most people can do that. And that's one of the biggest questions I get is how do you type without knowing what's on the keys? It's like, we're smart. We're humans. We're adaptable and we'll figure it out. We just need to let ourselves do so.
You're saying literally fuck around and find out.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally the only way you can do anything when it comes to technology, as far as I'm concerned.
There you heard it. If you want to learn tech, Matt says, fuck around and find out.
If you haven't gotten electrocuted, you haven't learned a thing.
That I can say, I agree with 100%.
That's all there is to it.
Okay, now we are going to have to do repairs because I just broke the second one.
I sent you that gift package last month and it's got, I think, a couple of hundred of those in it as well. So you've got plenty to do for repairs. We've got everything we need at any time. Anytime.
That is true. And that'll be our next video on technical deficit. Well, we're right at time. So I want to make sure we let everybody go. Mm-hmm. But Matt, thanks so much, dude. This was fun. What would be next steps for somebody that got this far with the keyboard?
That far? You would be installing your keycaps and then you're done. You're really at that point done. You just have to screw it together. And what you're looking at there is a sandwich. You're going to
screw the bottom part in, right?
Yeah, the bottom to the top. So your screws are going to go through the top into the standoffs. That's going to create a bit of a sandwich. You know, the bread is the top, the switches, and the base, and the meat is the PCB. After that, you're going to install your keycaps, which follow a standard QWERTY layout to begin with by default. And then you'll be good to go. And when you're done, again, your board is going to look a lot like this
one. And then your keycaps. And I'll be sure to post finished video or finished pictures on the Discord. If you're not part of our Discord, go join Discord. And Matt, thanks so much, dude. This was fun.
Hold on. Oh, look at that. The MMN Discord right there. QR code.
MMN Discord. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for playing along. Let us know how you did if you were doing this at home. Elle, I know you have a keyboard. Martin, I want to see your finished build, dude.
Oh, and also one last thing before we go. You could always check out my Instagram and see photos of built boards there. You know, maybe get a little inspiration. Reach out to us on Discord and figure out, ask what they are. I'll point you in the right direction to get everything that you need. Or we'll have it in the MMN store soon. Either way.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks so much, Matt. Thank you to the audience that was hanging out with us. We appreciate you. And we'll see you on the MMN Discord. Take care.
Have a good one, folks.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.